Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, August 22nd, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Stock futures fall ahead of the key Fed symposium in Jackson Hole.
10-year Treasury yields approach 3% as traders bet Jay Powell and the Fed will continue their hawkish stance.
And President Biden speaks with European leaders about reviving a nuclear deal with Iran.
New York City confirms a case of monkeypox in someone under the age of 18, plus a car bomb has killed the daughter of a prominent ally of Vladimir Putin. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. An amazing win for the Mets, a much-needed one for the Yankees. The Subway Series begins tonight. The Giants won their preseason game.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are falling this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. I mean, check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 49 points. Dow futures down 307. NASDAQ futures down 192. And the 10-year Treasury is up 3/32, yield 2.96%. The yield on the two-year, 3.27%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9%. Nathan.
Karen, it's all about the Fed this week. The annual Jackson Hole Symposium begins Thursday, and Fed Chair Jay Powell may use his speech on Friday to push back on speculation that interest rates will fall in 2023. Benchmark 10-year Treasury yields came within a whisker of 3%, with traders betting that policymakers will double down on their hawkish stance. Sylvia Jablonski is co-founder of Defiance ETFs.
You know, what I would expect is that, you know, he'll kind of follow suit to what he's sort of been doing before. And, you know, we'll probably hang on every word and try to determine whether or not we thought he was dovish or whether he was hawkish. But, you know, the message we've been getting is very much it depends on the data.
Defiance ETF Sylvia Jablonski does not think the market will give a clear-cut message from the Fed. We, of course, will have complete coverage of the Jackson Hole Symposium. Bloomberg Surveillance will be there live beginning Thursday with Tom Keene, Lisa Abramowitz, and Jonathan Farrell.
Well, Nathan, the Fed is still on a collision course with financial markets. According to the latest MLIV Pulse survey, stocks and bonds are set to tumble once more, even though inflation has likely peaked. 84% of respondents in the survey say it may take 2 years or longer for the Fed to bring inflation down to its official long-term target of 2%.
While Wall Street's focus will be on the Fed this week, Karen, we'll still get a number of earnings reports from tech companies, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Those tech names this week will include Autodesk, Dell, Intuit, Salesforce, Snowflake, and VMware. Questions abound about the outlook for corporate earnings given Federal Reserve efforts to quell inflation with higher interest rates. Alan Zafran is co-CEO at IEQ Capital.
Earnings aren't as bad as people fear. Inflation is starting to come down. You had a remarkably oversold short-term technical condition. And if you do read the chartists and technical analysts that are out there, they'll tell you that the setup right now is for a continuation of this rally.
Also reporting this week, Dollar General, Dollar Tree, and Zoom Video Communications. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. In Asia, Chinese banks have cut their loan prime rates. And Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
The one-year rate was lowered just 5 basis points to 3.65%. The five-year rate, a reference for mortgages, was cut 15 basis points to 4.3%. The rate cuts follow news on Friday of additional financing to prop up the real estate sector. Chinese developer stocks jumped in Hong Kong. It comes as the economy faces pressure on a number of fronts. In the meantime, authorities have extended power cuts in Sichuan province. They've activated the highest emergency response. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thanks. Oil's falling this morning, down 0.9% or 77 cents to $90 a barrel, West Texas Intermediate, as negotiations move forward to revive a nuclear deal with Iran. Details from Amy Morris in our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
President Biden spoke with leaders from Germany, France, and the UK, four of the original signatories of the Iran nuclear deal, which also include Russia and China. The four discussed ongoing negotiations. Iran has released its response to the latest framework earlier this month, and the U.S. has stayed tight-lipped on its position. The EU took it as constructive. One advisor to Iran's nuclear negotiating team says Tehran wants the U.S. penalized if it backs out again. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Well, back in East Asia, the U.S. and South Korea are planning their biggest drill since North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's summit with then-President Donald Trump. And Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has that story.
The biggest in about 5 years because the Trump-Kim summit apparently did not work in enticing Kim Jong-un to cut back on his nuclear programs. The drills are called Ulchi Freedom Shield and are expected to involve thousands of military personnel. The U.S. and South Korea say they're defensive in nature and will coordinate forces to respond to the possible invasion by North Korea. An angry response from the Kim regime is expected. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. Turning to corporate news, the takeover battle for Signify Health is heating up, and Bloomberg's Renita Young has that story live. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Sources say Amazon.com, United Health, CVS Health, and Option Care Health are all vying to acquire Signify Health. United Health submitted the highest bid at more than $30 a share, while Amazon's offer is close behind. Signify closed above $21 on Friday, which values the company at nearly $5 billion. Now, none of the plans are finalized yet, and the bidders' plans could still change. Signify could also always opt to remain independent. Sources tell Bloomberg that Signify is holding a board meeting today to discuss the bids. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Get ready to pay more for Tesla's self-driving system. CEO Elon Musk tweeted the price will rise $3,000 to $15,000 in North America. The increase will take effect on September 5th. It's the second price hike for Tesla's self-driving this year.
And finally, Karen, it was tough for some Game of Thrones fans to enter the House of the Dragon through HBO Max. The fantasy prequel's debut episode overwhelmed the streaming service last night. More than 3,000 outages were reported on Down Detector as of 9 p.m. Eastern Time. HBO's parent company, Warner Brothers Discovery, says some viewers had trouble connecting to HBO Max through Amazon Fire TV devices. S&P futures are down 48 points right now. Dow futures down 313. NASDAQ futures are lower by 189 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Still 73 degrees in Central Park. It's still dealing with that accident westbound or southbound West Side Highway at 158th. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York has its first confirmed case of monkeypox in someone under the age of 18. Officials from the New York Department of Health say the virus was detected in a child or teenager living outside of New York City. The virus is primarily spread through skin-to-skin contact, and the majority of cases have affected gay men, but it also has been detected in two women outside New York City and 16 women living in the city. With this new school year about to begin, New York City schools say they have not yet received any official guidance about monkeypox. Meanwhile, starting today, an additional 360,000 vials of monkeypox vaccine will be available nationwide. That's potentially enough vaccine for 1.8 million shots in arms using the Biden administration's new approach to stretch limited supplies. In Kansas City, Missouri, health official Scott Clarity is addressing privacy concerns. The city now has an online survey to help identify people who may qualify for the vaccine.
If you're concerned that you may have been exposed to monkeypox, get online, fill out that form.
Health official Scott Clarity says, according to data, there are more than 14,000 monkeypox cases nationwide. Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney says that her focus now is keeping former President Trump out of the White House. Following her election loss, Cheney said that President Joe Biden phoned her and they had a very good talk. Cheney spoke to ABC just days after her primary loss in Wyoming.
No regrets. I feel sad about where my party is. I feel sad about the way that too many of my colleagues have responded to what I think is a great moral test and challenge of our time.
Liz Cheney spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. Ukrainian officials are denying Russian allegations that they were behind the car bomb attack that killed the daughter of a prominent Vladimir Putin ally. In Russia, Daria Dugina, the daughter of a staunch supporter of the war, killed by a car bomb near Moscow. Her father, Alexander Dugin, an ultranationalist, has been called Putin's brain. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, Subway Series tonight. Mets won both games last month at Citi Field. Now they play two in the Bronx. No question who the hotter team is. The Yankees did win yesterday, but it was just their fifth win in the month of August, while the Mets, who did lose 3-4 in Atlanta, won 3-4 in Philadelphia in yesterday's win. Amazing. They had to start a rookie, Jose Buto. He served up 2 3-run homers to the Phillies' Alec Bohn, and the Mets trailed 4-0 later, 7-4. Mark Canha to the rescue. Game-tying 3-run homer, seventh inning. Then Canha came up for the ninth with the Mets trailing by a run.
Robertson delivers. Swing and a drive. Well hit to left. Back goes Maton. She is gone. Do you believe this? The Mets have done it again. They take the lead. Mark Canha with his arms raised over his head between first and second as he rounds the bases.
WCBS to call. The Mets won 10-9. Yankees finally beat Toronto at the stadium 4-2 to avoid a Blue Jays four-game sweep. Finally, a clutch hit. It came from Andrew Benintendi, who's been quiet since his arrival from Kansas City. His first Yankee home run. Game-winning two-run shot, seventh inning. The win to Lou Trevino. Another recent pickup. He got the last seven outs. The Subway Series pitching matchups favor the Mets. Max Scherzer goes tonight and Jacob DeGrom tomorrow. At MetLife, the Giants' third-string quarterback Davis Webb rallied Big Blue to a 25-22 preseason win over Cincinnati as Webb threw two fourth-quarter touchdown passes. MetLife tonight, Jets and the Atlanta Falcons. Patrick Cantlay won the golf in Delaware for the second straight year. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. S&P futures now down 45 points. Dow futures down 291. NASDAQ futures are lower by 179 points. 10-year Treasury's up 1/32nd. The yield 2.966%. We preview Jackson Hole next with Bloomberg Global Economics correspondent Michael McKee. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, lots of clouds today, some scattered showers, thunderstorms with a high near 75. Partly sunny, maybe a few scattered showers tomorrow, high near 85 degrees. Sunny near 90 Wednesday. Right now, 73 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are retreating along with U.S. stock index futures as the Federal Reserve's commitment to tighter monetary settings and worries about the effect on economic growth weigh on investor sentiment. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down 46 points, Dow futures down 294, and NASDAQ futures down 180. The DAX in Germany is down about 1.5%. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.96%. The yield on the two-year, 3.28%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.7% or 61 cents at $90.16 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.8% or $14.20 at $17.48.60 an ounce. The euro is at 1.0012 against the dollar. The yen 136.90. And Bitcoin this morning is down about 1.5% at $21,150. GameStop and Bed Bath & Beyond are leading declines in meme stocks this morning as the latest frenzy in the shares loses steam. Bed Bath & Beyond is down 8.5% right now. We're also watching AMC Entertainment down 34% ahead of the debut of its new class of shares. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The White House is saying during a joint phone call, the leaders of the U.S., U.K., France, and Germany discussed how to revive the Iran nuclear deal. Previously, Tehran had curbed its nuclear program in exchange for relief from economic sanctions. Ukrainian officials are denying Russian allegations that they were behind the car bomb attack that killed the daughter of a prominent Vladimir Putin ally. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Blue Jays 4-2. The Mets beat the Phillies 10-9. The Orioles beat the Red Sox 5-3. The Nationals lost. The A's beat the Mariners 5-3. The Giants won. NFL preseason yesterday, the Giants and Ravens won. In golf, Patrick Cantlay wins the BMW Championship. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 6:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get more now on what we could expect from this week's Jackson Hole Symposium and that speech from Fed Chair Jay Powell. Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee joins me now. And, Mike, I don't know if we can say that we're seeing a reset in market expectations of what the Fed could do with interest rates, given where futures are going lower this morning. But is that what we could expect from Chairman Powell, a reset of market expectations?
I think the markets are hoping he will tell them something that can help them to figure out where we're going and how fast we're going to get there and therefore position for it. But I'm not sure they're going to get what they're looking for, because it may be hard for Powell to even figure that out. I think what we'll see is a lot of volatility this week as people try to read into various economic indicators whether there's good news or bad news coming. But Powell's position hasn't changed a whole lot, and nor has the Fed's. They believe they're going to have to keep raising rates to a certain point and stay there for a while, where the market thinks that they'll raise rates a little more and start cutting again. So that's the message he'll deliver. Now, Larry Summers out this last Friday on Wall Street Week with David Westin saying that the Fed should be honest and say, look, we're going to create a recession. I'm not sure Powell is going to go that far.
Yeah, I mean, has there ever been a time where a Federal Reserve has said that they expect a recession?
No.
I mean, has that happened in history?
No, and I've likened this to like a football game where the coach comes out at the beginning of the game and says, we're going to get killed today. We're really going to lose by a lot. Yeah, that's not going to happen. But Powell may, if he wants to send that kind of a message, he may dance around it by saying things like, there's going to be pain involved. We know that.
And we've seen some, gaming out of how long it's going to take for the Fed to get to its 2% inflation target. We've got that MLive Pulse survey out this morning that says it could take a couple of years for inflation to get back to target. I mean, is there anything that markets could get from the chairman on that score? How long they expect the fight's going to take?
They've said it's likely to take a couple of years. Their economic projections released in June don't have us getting back till about 2025. Now, the question is, does anybody really have a good idea of how long it's going to take? Because this is such an unusual inflationary trend driven in large part by coming out of the pandemic and then the war. And we don't know what's going to happen with that war in Ukraine. We don't know whether energy prices are going to shoot up again, which would just make it all the harder. We are seeing signs in used cars, in airfares, in things like that, that some of the things that the Fed expected to be transitory were. The period was longer, but they are starting to go down. So it's kind of hard for people to estimate how long it's going to take and have a good handle on that, which probably argues that Jay Powell is not going to give us a specific timeline other than to say it will take a while.
Since I think I heard you bring up the T word again, Mike, how much stock should markets take in what Powell does say this week, given that when they held the symposium last year, he brought out the word transitory, and he's now admitted that that turned out wrong. Got about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, there are some people who think that he's going to have a bit of a credibility problem. I think people can take his words at face value. The only thing is we're going to have a jobs report and a CPI report before the next Fed meeting on September 21st, and those will have a major impact on what the Fed does that day. So I don't think you can leave Jackson Hole saying the Fed is going to do X or Y on September 21st, but have an idea of the general trend.
And it sounds like that could be the message that he sends, that they just don't know where things could go, given that there is so much more data between Jackson Hole and the next FOMC meeting. Thanks for this, Mike. Great, as always, having you on with us. Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee. And, of course, we will have full Jackson Hole coverage for you right here on Bloomberg Radio and Bloomberg Television. Bloomberg Surveillance is going to be there starting when the symposium kicks off on Thursday. Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, Lisa Abramowitz taking you all the way through Fed Chair Powell's speech coming up on Friday, the capper of Jackson Hole. Looking ahead to the market open this morning, S&P futures are down 46 points. Dow futures down 294, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 182 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, clouds, some scattered showers and thunderstorms, high near 75 today. We'll get into the mid-80s tomorrow, partly sunny with a few scattered showers and thundershowers. Wednesday, sunshine, the high near 90. Right now, 73 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by IBKR. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interest at IBKR.com/RIA. Up first, the annual Jackson Hole Symposium begins Thursday, and we'll hear from Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell in a speech Friday. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice has a preview.
The Fed chair is battling inflation after the central bank fumbled at the onset of the worst price surge in decades. Bloomberg Economics says Powell will attempt to steady the message on interest rates in his talk at Jackson Hole and dissuade Wall Street that the Fed has made a dovish pivot by signaling the central bank is far from done in this year's tightening campaign. So far, the Fed has lifted its benchmark rate from near zero to 2.5%. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thanks. So we'll have complete coverage of the Jackson Hole Symposium. Bloomberg Surveillance will be there live.
Overseas, Karen, Chinese banks have cut their loan prime rates as Beijing pledges to offer developers more financing. Hai Chen is head of investment strategy at Haitong International.
I think we already reached a point that the central government really need to step in. And the announcement over the weekend on the policy bank, this is actually a good start. I think they really need to provide a backstop.
Hai Chen with Haitong International says markets want to see how the Chinese government will prop up its struggling property space.
Nathan, a geopolitical note in Asia, the U.S. and South Korea are planning their biggest military move since North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's summit with then-President Donald Trump.
In corporate news, Karen, the takeover battle for Signify Health is heating up, and Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with that. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Sources say Amazon.com, United Health, CVS Health, and Option Care Health are all vying to acquire Signify Health. United Health submitted the highest bid at more than $30 a share, while Amazon's offer is close behind. Signify closed above $21 on Friday, which values the company at nearly $5 billion. Now, none of the plans are finalized yet, and bidders' plans could still change. And Signify could always opt to remain independent. Sources tell Bloomberg that Signify is holding a board meeting today to discuss the bids. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. Oil falling this morning. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.1%. It's at $90.65 a barrel. It's down about 12 cents. And Brent is at $96.52. It comes as negotiations move forward to revive a nuclear deal with Iran. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 73 degrees in Central Park. Got a crash eastbound 6 near Route 9. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City schools say they have not yet received any official guidance about monkeypox. New York has its first confirmed case of monkeypox in someone under the age of 18. Officials from the New York Department of Health say the virus was detected in a child or teenager living outside of New York City. The virus is primarily primarily spread through skin-to-skin contact. Children in other states, including Texas and California, have also contracted monkeypox. In Kansas City, Missouri, health official Scott Clardy is trying to make it easier to get a shot.
If we can get, get folks vaccinated, that will keep the spread down.
Health official Scott Clardy, as there are more than 14,000 monkeypox cases nationwide. Ukrainian officials are denying the Russian allegations that they were behind the car bomb attack that killed the daughter of prominent Vladimir Putin ally Alexander Dugin. Daria Dugina's family said she borrowed her father's car, suggesting he was the target. House January 6th Committee Vice Chair Liz Cheney has said she thinks former Vice President Mike Pence should testify before the committee. Cheney also hinted that former President Trump could be called to testify before the committee. Just days after her Republican primary loss in Wyoming, Cheney says that her focus now is keeping former President Trump out of the White House.
Our party has abandoned principle and abandoned value and abandoned fundamental fidelity to the Constitution in order to embrace a cult of personality. And I think that's really dangerous for a whole bunch of reasons.
Liz Cheney spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. Parental rights front and center in Florida as Republican Governor Ron DeSantis campaign in Doral, supporting school board candidates who back his controversial educational agenda.
We are not going to surrender to woke. We are going to prevail. And Florida is the state where woke goes to die.
Former GOP Governor Charlie Crist is now running as a Democrat for his old seat.
My party left me. I didn't leave it. Started with the Tea Party, and it's only metastasized now. I'm very comfortable being a proud Florida Democrat. It's where I should have been a long time ago. I'm glad to be here now, and thank God for it all.
Crist spoke to ABC. Tomorrow is also primary day in New York. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stasher.
All right, Nathan, much-needed win for the Yankees, an amazing win for the Mets, and now the two teams, at least weather permitting, meet tonight in the Bronx. Start of the two-game Subway Series. The Yankees went into Paul O'Neill Day at the stadium with the worst record in August of any team in the majors, 4-14, assured of losing a sixth series in a row. That hadn't happened in 27 years. Just trying to avoid getting swept. Yanks and Blue Jays, 2-2, seventh inning. Andrew Benintendi at the plate.
Now here's the 0-1. Swung on, there it goes. Deep right, it is high. That is far. Good, it's gone. He hit his first home run. It couldn't have come at a better time. Benny. Oh, Molta Benny. And the right field seats.
WFAN, Yanks won 4-2. Mets, meanwhile, won in Philadelphia 10-9. They trailed 4-0, later 7-4. Mark Canha hit a game-tying three-run homer, seventh inning, and then in the ninth. Canha, again, two-run shot to put the Mets ahead, move them four games ahead of Atlanta. Now the Mets come at the Yankees with their 1-2 punch of Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom. For what it's worth, Giants 2-0 in the preseason. They beat Cincinnati at MetLife 25-22, a game with three fourth-quarter lead changes. Davis Webb led the Giants to victory, a game-winning TD pass in the final minute. Daniel Jones started. He looked good, going 16 of 18. Rookie edge rusher Kayvon Thibodeau left with a knee injury. Did not appear to be serious. The Jets host the Falcons tonight. Patrick Cantlay won the golf in Delaware. Tom Weisskopf passed away at 79. He won 16 PGA events in the 1973 British Open. He was the runner-up at the Masters four times. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. Kriti, we've been talking about this takeover battle for Signify Health heating up, and I look at the stock this morning. My goodness, what a surge.
It is a massive surge. SGFY is your ticker here for Signify Health. The jumping, get this, 40% in the pre-market. Of course, this comes after reports of United Health, Amazon, CVS, and Option Care Health all vying to buy the healthcare technology provider. And Nathan, this is really important. I really wanted to take an extra beat to kind of spend on this. Amazon in particular, if you look at the names I just listed, United Health, CVS, Option Care Health, those
huge
are not huge, but those aren't the category that Amazon usually fits into when it comes to its competitors. Amazon really making a massive move here to get into the healthcare space. And remember, there have been multiple companies in the past, Berkshire Hathaway even, JP Morgan even, who have tried to get into the healthcare business and haven't been able to do it successfully. So to see Amazon make this much of a bid for it is pretty significant. Remember, we've been talking a lot about big tech as well. Amazon has a ton of cash on their balance sheet, just a kind of a legacy, or I should say a side effect of the pandemic and how much they've been able to borrow at those record low rates. So Amazon does actually have cash to spend. Of course, Signify Health potentially becoming the beneficiary for that. As you point out, SGFY is your ticker, up about 40% in the pre-market. What's down, though, is those meme stocks, Nathan.
Right.
You have GameStop, GME, your classic kind of I want to call it mascot almost for the meme stock crowd, down about 5% in the pre-market, but so is AMC Entertainment, but down by a lot more, down about 33% in the pre-market. The ticker is just the letter AMC. And I want to put an extra minute on this one as well, because it is actually going to start trading under APE starting today, I believe, when the stock market opens in just under 3 hours or so. So keep an eye on that. Bed Bath & Beyond, of course, we know, is also the one moving from the retail crowd as well. BBBY is your ticker, down about 9%, Nathan.
And finally, Tesla's moving for a couple of different reasons here.
It is, and it's not the only one. I kind of want to group some of the tech stocks together because, of course, we know the market is down broadly to the tune of about 1.2%. So there isn't a ton of green on the screen anyway, but you are seeing some of the losses really magnified in the tech names, like Tesla, for example. TSLA is your ticker, down about 2% in the pre-market, but it's not alone. Take a look at Netflix. NFLX is your ticker there, down 2.2% in the pre-market as well. And I should go back to Tesla really quickly. It's taking it along with it, some of the other electrical vehicle makers, Rivian, Nikola, RIVN, and NKLA, down over 2% this morning.
Yeah, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us this morning. As you mentioned, the tech sector sort of leading the declines now, with NASDAQ futures down 1.4% or 190 points. S&P futures are down 1.1%, a drop of 47 points there, and Dow futures down 0.9%, down 300 points. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Clouds today, some scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high near 75. We'll get into the mid-80s tomorrow, partly sunny, maybe a few scattered showers. Sunshine Wednesday, high near 90. Right now, 73 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures on the decline this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now, with Dow futures down 300 points. S&P's dropped 48, while NASDAQ futures are down by 200. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.98%. Gold is down 12. Oil is little changed. And Bitcoin is down by 1%. Japan fell 0.5% overnight, while European markets are also in the red this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Chicago Fed. In deal news, people familiar said that Amazon joined the bidding war for Signify Health. And wrapping things up, Netflix was cut to sell over at CFRA. Foot Locker raised to equal weight at Morgan Stanley, and DocuSign was cut to sector perform over at RBC. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg Times Squawk on your terminal, SQUAWK. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. President Joe Biden spoke yesterday with fellow Western leaders looking to revive a nuclear deal with Iran. Biden spoke with his counterparts in Germany, France, and the UK. Basketball Hall of Famer Dennis Rodman says he intends to visit Russia to try to help WNBA star Brittany Griner get back home. Griner was sentenced to 9 years following her conviction on drug charges earlier this month. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Blue Jays 4-2. The Mets beat the Phillies 10-9. The Orioles beat the Red Sox 5-3. The Nationals lost. The A's beat the Mariners 5-3. The Giants won. NFL preseason action yesterday. The Giants and Ravens won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
What happened when Minneapolis ended single-family zoning? I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. In January 2020, single-family zoning went away in Minneapolis. Duplexes and triplexes were permitted in the 70% of the city where previously only detached houses were allowed. The change, and subsequent similar moves elsewhere, received a lot of attention. Some hailed it as a landmark move toward making housing more affordable and ending residential segregation. Others decried it as the end of the American way. What has transpired in Minneapolis since? Through the end of June, building permits have been issued for 20 new duplexes and 11 new triplexes in neighborhoods where they wouldn't have been allowed before. Another 20 or so units have been created by newly allowed alterations to existing houses. In a city of 425,000 people, that's not exactly a housing revolution. It is a step. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street, and we turn to news now in science and technology with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Millions of students wearing face masks streamed back to primary and secondary schools across the Philippines today. It was their first in-person classes after 2 years of coronavirus lockdowns. Officials grappled with daunting problems, including classroom shortages, lingering COVID fears, an approaching storm, and quake-damaged school buildings in the country's north to welcome back many of more than 27 million students who enrolled for the school year. Germany may have to extend its use of nuclear power if it's not able to replace all of its imports of Russian natural gas this winter. Berlin had decided to exit atomic energy permanently by the end of the year. Chancellor Olaf Scholz and Economy Minister Robert Habeck say there's the option of extending the lives of Germany's last three reactors past December. And get ready to pay more for Tesla's self-driving system. CEO Elon Musk tweeted the price will rise $3,000 to $15,000 in North America. The price hike will take place on September 5th. It's the second increase this year. That's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's almost 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include Congresswoman Liz Cheney promising to keep up her fight against former President Donald Trump, even after losing her Republican primary in Wyoming. Cheney was a guest on ABC's This Week.
I'm going to be very focused on working to ensure that we do everything we can not to elect election deniers. And I'm going to work against those people. I'm going to work to support their opponents. I think it matters that much.
Meanwhile, Democrats are feeling better about their chances in November against a growing number of pro-Trump Republican opponents. Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney chairs the Democratic campaign arm in the House.
We've been counted out for a while now, but we are having a comeback, and we have great candidates all over the country, veterans, diverse candidates that look like America that are a good fit for their district. And we're excited to share those candidates with the American people.
Congressman Maloney was on NBC's Meet the Press. Also making news, Education Secretary Miguel Cardona with a unique pitch for how to use federal stimulus money to address a nationwide teacher shortage.
Let's use the American Rescue Plan dollars to bring back retired teachers, to work with universities to make sure that our student teachers are starting a little bit earlier into their profession.
Secretary Cardona was on CBS's Face the Nation, which you can hear every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio, along with Meet the Press and This Week. And now we're joined by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins from the nation's capital. So here we are, Emily, just about less than 3 months from the November general election. And as we heard there, a lot more confidence from Democrats about the opponents they're going to be up against in House races.
Yeah, Democrats are feeling particularly good. They've had a couple special elections in Nebraska and Minnesota where Republicans have won, but the margins for Democrats were a little more narrow. They did better than we thought they were going to do. And yes, while we have seen folks like Liz Cheney go ahead and lose her primary, there is a lot of confidence that Democrats are going to be able to pick up wins. Well, obviously, she's a Republican, but Democrats are pretty confident that they're going to be able to pick up wins in other places throughout the country. And particularly if you look at the Senate, there's a lot of confidence there just because there are a number of states where the Democratic candidate is currently leading the Republican candidate. We're looking at key states like Pennsylvania, where John Fetterman is up against Mehmet Oz, as well as in Georgia, where Herschel Walker has really suffered this string of kind of setbacks, personal gaffes, personal history stumbling blocks on the campaign trail. And we're also seeing some similar dynamics play out in Ohio. So there are all these key states that really could decide the makeup of the Senate. And right now, it seems like Democratic candidates are simply performing better than their Republican counterparts.
What are the issues that that the parties are looking to focus on heading into November? Obviously, the economy continues to be a big one, but we've got this FBI search at former President Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago, Florida, and we have Democrats looking to capitalize potentially on abortion rights. Could those be drivers as well?
I think you hit the nail on the head there, Nathan, with abortion rights. I mean, that is really kind of the big one that Democrats have been touting, the ones that they see more movement and turnout on. Remember, a lot of the midterms is about folks actually getting up and coming to the polls. They have to have a reason to want to do that. That's always hard for the president's party because, you know, their voters look and say, well, we're in charge. I'm probably good. I don't need to get to the ballot box today. But to have something hanging over Democrats, voters with the intensity of the overturning of Roe versus Wade, that is a motivator for them to get out and to go vote. And so that could definitely be something that gives Democrats a huge boost. For Republican, it's inflation, 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 inflation. It's very much a focus on the economy, a focus on prices. Although it will be interesting to see, of course, what happens if some of that cooling that we began to see in July, exactly how far that goes. I mean, certainly Democrats have been now quick to push back, you know, pointing out that gas prices are much lower than they were several months ago. And I think even some Democrats are optimistic that they can, to a certain degree, run on the economy and particularly the low unemployment.
About a minute left here, but one story that didn't make the Sunday shows was President Biden chatting with European leaders about the Iran nuclear deal.
Yeah, so Biden spoke with top officials in Germany, France, and the UK, all signatories of the original nuclear deal with Iran. Negotiations have continued on that deal, and Iran has submitted a response to the latest proposal that the European Union put out. And the European Union has said that response was constructive. Now, the U.S. has yet to weigh in on the Iranian comments on that EU proposal. We know that one advisor to the Iran negotiating team says that Tehran wants to ensure the U.S. will pay a price if they withdraw again from the agreement as it did under Trump. But at this point, there do seem to be some optimistic signs that they might be able to get back to an agreement on the nuclear deal.
Thanks for this, Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Getting ready for the start of the trading week. Futures are moving lower. We have S&P futures right now down 46 points. Dow futures down 287. NASDAQ futures are lower by 193 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 2/32. The yield now 2.97, almost 2.98%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.29. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.